Welcome to this week's episode of the Ag Pro Podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Davenport, and this week I'm talking with Mike Matheson. He's the Precision Ag Specialist with the Federation Co-op in Wisconsin. He's talking about the exciting things they're doing with thermal imaging and how they're helping their growers. That's coming up next on the Ag Pro Podcast. And joining me on this week's episode of the Ag Pro Podcast, I have Mr. Mike Matheson. He is the Precision Ag Specialist with the Federation Co-op, serving pretty much the heartland of Wisconsin. Right, Mike?
Yep, pretty much dead center in the western side, I guess.
Okay, and you're at the Hixton location, right?
Correct.
Okay, as the Precision Ag Specialist, what do you do?
Well, that ends up being a pretty broad category of stuff. I take care of all of our mapping, so, you know, making sure we have all the farmers' farms laid out correctly in our GIS software. I take care of making sure our technology and our equipment is functioning, so our mapping and our own equipment, and our, you know, making sure our applications are as correct as possible. We offer some RTK services, so I manage that. We also offer irrigation management, and I take care of that's through Crop Metrics, and I take care of that. And then we do all kinds of other precision ag services like soil sampling, obviously the imagery, tissue sampling, and then yield analytics and just broad spectrum data analytics, and that all falls under my wheelhouse, I guess.
Okay. Talk a little bit about the area that you serve. I'm familiar with it. We were talking before we started this interview. My family has a cabin up in northwestern Wisconsin. We drive right through that area, but you guys have more than corn and soybeans there.
Right. So, yeah, we're right along I-94 between Eau Claire and La Crosse, Wisconsin, about halfway in between the two. And we are predominantly corn and soybeans, obviously with some alfalfa in the mix because it's a dairy area. And we also have quite a bit of cranberries just south of us, and we have a cranberry supply division that I also work quite heavily with as well, and that serves somewhere around a third of the cranberries in Wisconsin. So we get a little diversified.
Yeah, and it's so cool. I've seen some of those cranberry bogs, not when they've been flooded, but it's an interesting crop up there.
Absolutely, and for my aspect of things, the cranberry growers are really heavily involved in management. I mean, they analyze everything to the nth degree and are constantly, you know, they make dozens of applications on those beds a year, so it's a little more involvement than the row crop side of things generally. And so what we're trying to do with them is bring more technology to the marsh for them so they can, you know, make better decisions and make better applications, same thing that we're doing in the row crop side of things.
And from what I understand, your cranberry growers with the Federation, Mike, you guys are using aerial thermal technology, right?
Correct. So and this is completely new this year. They just finished up harvesting, so we're going to be breaking down a lot of the data here in the weeks to come. But we had thermal imagery over a few beds, I guess, this season, and saw some pretty interesting things, and just trying to basically break down what it all means. So lots of ground truthing and tissue sampling involved in that to try to, you know, analyze what's causing those changes throughout the beds, because they're on a smaller management scale. They operate on, you know, 3 acres per bed. So they have a little bit easier time in a sense of managing their spatial area, but really breaking down the differences within there because of the lack of the technology for cranberries, there hasn't been the tool to do that before. So we're trying to get them to that level so it's something they can manage around.
And that's exciting, too, for these growers.
Oh, absolutely. We've seen some pretty great, I guess, advancements, I'd call it, in what we've been able to notice and early detection of problems. And then, again, addressing the variability within a bed. So it gives them a whole bunch of tools that they can use to basically improve what they're doing.
Absolutely. And those tools are so important. So, Mike, what specific types of tools do you guys offer your growers?
One of the big ones that we're focusing on right now is imagery. So there's a whole pile of different avenues you can go down for imagery, and they all have their merits. But we're focusing on the thermal at the moment because it allows for more minute detection as well as early detection. So it doesn't rely on a good crop canopy in order to get accurate images, similar to how NDVI functions. You can actually get out there in, V3 corn and utilize that thermal imagery to spot check stuff and figure out what's going on in your field and detecting problems. So that's one of the larger things we're focusing on right now. Something else this year that we're doing new is CropMetrics irrigation management, which basically utilizes a soil moisture probe with reading water levels within the soil and utilizing weather modeling and soil drainage for or soil drainage models to basically interpret how much water you have in your soil, when you're going to need to water again, based on the forecast and what it's looking like. So that way growers are making better use of their irrigation and not overwatering, not underwatering, preventing that leaching. So that's another big thing that we're focusing on this year. Otherwise, we offer, the other precision ag aspects that most cooperatives offer nowadays, which is, soil sampling using georeferencing. So you're doing grid point sampling and what we're calling smart sampling, where you use other data layers to focus where you're taking your samples so you get better information out of that. Using that same avenue for tissue sampling as well to for in-season detection and correction. And all the, I guess, things like variable rate fertility and variable rate seeding, but you can do all that as well.
Okay, now going back to the crop metrics, I know it was dry across much of the Midwest and Wisconsin was not spared from that. How successful was that this year?
We're still waiting on a couple of our pivots to be harvested, but as of right now, what we've seen throughout the season, it looked incredibly successful. Obviously, they weren't succumbed to the same water stresses that the dry land was, but what the growers had commented is that, they don't necessarily have high capacity pivots because they can't run as much as they'd like because you end up losing traction on the hilly ground here and stuff like that. So there's limits to what they can put on. So the biggest thing that CropMetrics did is it ensured that they were never behind, because once you get behind, you can't really catch up. So if you're staying on top of it and you actually know what's in your soil profile available to the plant, you can manage around that so you don't get in that area where you're trying to play catch up.
That's absolutely fantastic, and it's so cool to see how advanced technology has come in the last several years.
Oh, absolutely. And it's constantly evolving. And that's the one thing that we're trying to do is stay on the forefront of this technology that's available to us, because it's all designed to make people's lives easier and make everyone more profitable and more environmentally friendly. And, that comes into play in most of the aspects that we're doing, the variable rate fertility, ensuring that you're not over applying fertilizer, which we all know creates a whole pile of problems. The irrigation management, so you're not wasting water, and, just being more focused with everything that we're doing.
You brought this up with being more efficient with your fertilizer use and irrigation. That has an impact on the farmer's bottom line. So you're saving them money, time, and energy in the long run.
Absolutely, and that's one of the goals. It's kind of funny, at one point about variable rate fertility is it doesn't necessarily mean that people are putting on less fertilizer, but it's focusing where they put it, so they're putting it in the places that actually utilize it or need it and will utilize it, and not over applying in the low production areas that won't make a benefit of that, where it'll just end up leaching off and everything. So, they might spend the same amount of money, but they're getting a lot more bang for their buck.
Absolutely. And in these tough times, that is more important than ever. So, Mike, another thing, from what I understand, roughly half of your growers are using these tools that you guys offer at the Federation. How has that adoption process been? Have there been some farmers that have been pretty hesitant to jump on board because of the cost or other things, or have people been pretty eager to try this new technology?
So it's been kind of evolving as we go along. Now that we've gotten to a point where we're a lot more comfortable with the technology and we have some, truth to what we're doing by, locally based events that, things that we've actually done, we can show, hey, we did this and it worked. The adoption has actually improved quite a bit. You still get the people, it still varies from farmer to farmer depending on how comfortable they are with technology and what previous experiences they've had. So, some people might have been sold a certain piece of technology and, told it would do all these things and couldn't get it to work right or, other things like that. And those people will be a little more hesitant because they just think it's all snake oil. But I'd say when I first started here in 2016, I guess it was slow. Took a while to get people to uptake, but now it's actually improving quite a bit. And I think after this year, when we have all this other data from our plots and stuff that we've been doing, that it'll just increase the uptake even further.
And you bring up the snake oil thing. Have you had experience with growers that have said, "No, I don't want to try this. This is snake oil." And then say, "You know what? What's the harm? I'll see it. I'll try it out this year. See what it's like." Have you had anybody with that type of experience?
Absolutely, and we've actually had a couple of instances ourselves. With some tools that have been out in years prior, you'd try something out and it wouldn't work, and that farmer would, have that bad taste in their mouth and say, "Oh, you sold me a bunch of lies," that sort of stuff. And then, as you start presenting them with more evidence of use cases and stuff where things have actually worked, once the data gets to the point where it doesn't seem like it's, it seems factual at that point, then they'll turn the tables on that and be willing to sample it again.
So, have you learned anything else from offering these products to your farmers, such as crop metrics or any other of the products that you offer, that you've learned from being out in the field or working with farmers or just on your own?
I guess there's a couple of things that really speak out to me. As the biggest things I've learned from all this is, first of all, is follow through. So most of these tools, they aren't really going to do anything on their own. They're going to provide people with information, and you have to follow through with that. Make sure you're living, or make sure you're following through with everything that you're saying it'll do from the start, and keeping in touch and up to date with all that, and making sure the farmer knows what's going on. And I guess the other side of it, which kind of follows in the same thing, is none of these tools are really going to provide a solution to anything. They're going to give you information. And if you don't use that information for anything, to make a decision, whether you're going to put fertilizer on differently or, do a fungicide application or change how you do things, that information really doesn't have any value to it. It's like the imagery, and that's the easiest example because most people have had some experience with it. If you don't use the imagery for anything, it is just a pretty picture. It doesn't really have any value. It's cool. It's an interesting technology. But at the end of the day, having that picture, if you don't utilize it to change your fertilizer application or change your spray program or something like that, it doesn't do you any good at all. And, same thing with yield maps and whatnot. It all follows that same pattern that if you don't utilize it, it has no value.
Right, and it's all in the value that you place on that piece of technology or tools or anything. Now, with big data, you can analyze so many different things. What would you say would be the top two, top three things that a farmer should be looking at with some of this data that they're collecting?
Well, I mean, that's going to kind of vary from farmer to farmer, depending on what technology they have on their farm and what data they actually have access to. But the first one's going to be yield. So that's your report card for how you did in the year. It tells you exactly what happened. There's no guessing to it. You know that that spot put out that many bushels. So that gives you your, I guess, target. So it tells you where you need to start looking for, and then you can work backwards to figure out, okay, what's causing this spot to be 150 bushel compared to this other spot that's running 210. That's the, I would say, most important piece of the puzzle as far as what you're going to be able to do with analytics. I guess the second best would probably be imagery. It lets you do a similar thing where it points you to the spots where you need to start looking. But it doesn't necessarily give you that final value as to what exactly happened there. But utilizing, the accuracy imagery today, you can get a pretty good idea of, difference in yield throughout that field or whatever to focus where you're doing things. As far as that goes, there's a lot of other things you can start looking at. Obviously, fertility is huge. And then what we've actually, been trying to push for is in-season management with tissue sampling and everything, because we have the ability and the equipment and technologies now to do accurate in-season application, and that's something not a lot of growers are taking advantage of.
Okay, so where would a farmer go to learn more about the Federation and get in contact with you?
We have a website, federationcoop.com. Always willing to talk about precision ag with any farmer.
Good. Well, I have been talking to Mr. Mike Matheson. He is the Precision Ag Specialist with the Federation Co-op. Mike, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much for having me.
I'm Ashley Davenport, your host for the Ag Pro Podcast. Thank you so much for listening. Just a reminder, new episodes drop every Wednesday on the AgriTalk app or wherever you find your podcast. Until next time, have a great week and stay safe out there.